Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you once again to the TNA World Champion, Nick Nemeth, former TNA World Champion Tessa Blanchard for jumping in. If you're going to be at Genesis Sunday night at the Curtis Caldwell Center in Garland, hey, let us know on the fan text, social media. Definitely want to know. And right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right. So before I get to a little bit of Ranger news and some kind of current news around baseball, I'd like to tell everybody I cried this morning.
Oh, is everything okay?
Everything is good. They were happy tears. I woke up and on my YouTube feed was just a picture of the Rangers in Arizona with their championship shirts on, taking the picture after beating the Diamondbacks in Game 5. And what it said was, it's about 12 minutes, and it was just all the home runs and then major defensive plays that were made or closing out a series, the final pitch of kind of each series to win that series and then ultimately win the World Series. And it was just a blast. It got me so ready for baseball. Tomorrow is Fan Fest. Tonight is the awards dinner.
Yeah.
Which I believe those tickets are sold out. I don't know about Fan Fest if there's tickets available or not. Go to TexasRangers.com. Maybe there is tickets, but I mean, everybody's going to be there tomorrow. The fan is actually going to be there tomorrow, too.
Yes, actually, I'm really glad that you said that because we're going to be stacked with interviews tomorrow on the fan at FanFest with Will and Jake. Ian Kinsler is going to be on 11. Kamar Rocker at 11:40. Cody Bradford at noon. Jared Sandler at noon 20. Bruce Bochy at 1:40 and Pudge at 2 o'clock. I know there's a lot I just threw at you. So basically, just listen that whole time and you'll get tons of fun Rangers content.
I love it.
But I don't know about you guys. I don't know when the emotions wear off. We're just a little over a year from the Rangers winning the World Series. Now, it's about to be a new year. I'm interviewing Chris Young tomorrow at 10 a.m. at FanFest, and I know Chris
Are you
Young.
Pumped about that?
I am. And I know that Chris Young will be like, that was 2023. Not only was that 2023, we played 2024, disappointed. This is about 2025. But as a fan of the team, I still got emotional seeing that Corey Seager home run. Now, there are multiple home runs he hit. There's plenty of highlights of Corey Seager and Adolis Garcia hitting home runs in the playoffs.
When you say the Corey Seager home run, you know you mean the game-tying, fist-pumping, home
run. You think of the moment, and then you see where the ball went. I don't know. I think it was like 440-something feet. It looked like it was 500 feet. It looked like it was going into, which has never happened there, even with metal bats in the high school home run derby. It looked like it was going in the upper deck. But that moment still brought me to happy tears. And then they continue, because what happens after that big highlight moment? They show the next home run in Rangers playoff history in 2023, and they show Adolis Garcia getting, now I believe it was the 11th inning, I think, if I have my innings right.
Because he had an opportunity after Seager, right? And then they had to go into extra innings, and then he got that.
It wasn't dramatic enough for him just quite yet.
And that was very just like that Minnesota Twins game we saw middle of the season where he had struck out a bunch during the game. It was like, I got this guy.
So here's my question. It doesn't have to be baseball related. Can you watch a moment in history of sports that you would still cry? Like, I know this is tough to answer. I didn't know I was going to cry this morning. Like, I was like, oh, let me just watch this. This will just get me pumped up for Fan Fest and tonight for the award ceremony. I had no clue that I was going to start crying happy tears again this morning.
So some of it's where you are in your life. Like, for that Rangers win, it'll always be important because it never happened. But the other one that I think of absolutely, it was just because I can remember everything about it. And every time it comes on, it hits me in the feels and I have to watch it. It was the East Regional Final in 1992 where Duke beat Kentucky. And I remember my mom telling me, because Kentucky had taken the lead, 2.1 seconds left. And she goes, well, they can't win every year. And at this point, I'm like 11 or whatever, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in sports. Because that's you don't know, like, get ready for life.
But at least Mashburn's going to play for the Mavs.
Yeah, exactly. And then they made the shot. And I remember running in circles around my house. And then, like, everybody I knew was all my friends were calling me, like, still on the landline. And it was just amazing because they were like, oh, my God, can you hold on just a second? Oh, my God. And so, like, that moment reminds me of it because I can feel all of that kid excitement.
It is Dirk winning that title, disappearing 11. Emotionally. At the time, I didn't cry. When I was doing it, because I was working at Channel 33 and I was editing, so I was having to put together a sports package, but I'm just sitting there by myself in the studio.
Man.
Because all the other anchors were on TV at the time, and I'm the only person left. I'm the editor, and I'm just sitting there watching this happen, like, oh my gosh, this happened. I'm celebrating with nobody. And then I had work to do. But then years later, as I've gone back and watched it, just the emotion that we know Dirk had to go through, everything he went through to get to that point always gets to me, because you're watching that man walk away from the court so he can have a private moment. And you know, man, one of the greatest things he said after they won the Western Conference Finals was he threw that thing in the laundry, because he was like, I got one of those. I want to get this next one.
Yeah.
It's still really emotional for me.
Alec, real quick, do you have a moment that will still bring you to tears watching a moment in sports that has happened?
I think for a lot of us too, while he gets ready for that, I think the parade is always going to play a part in that as well. I'm sorry if I just stepped on your answer, Alec.
No, I think it's kind of a combo. Like, I remember the exact like feeling watching the Rangers close out the World Series, because I've talked about it before with the Mavs championship in 11. I was only 10, so like I still didn't really grasp what was going on. But going to the parade, I think it was really the moment. There was two moments at the parade where it kind of hit me in the feels. One, when Bassick walked up, I said hi to Mike. He didn't say a word. He just gives me a massive bear hug. And then Eric Nadell did the exact same thing. That was when it kind of hit me, like, dang, this is real.
Because we were all in the same space of, I have seen this team be terrible for so long. And it's a weird space right now, because if you think about it, in the last 8 years, the Rangers have had 7 losing seasons and then they won the World Series.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird combination. And if that was the only, this is the only baseball team, like Major League Baseball team, I've ever rooted for. And it felt like all together, like we all did it. So that's when you go back to Eric's call. It was so perfect. And it felt like it included all of us that had like given up every Tuesday night for just your whatever August baseball game. You're like, we got to win this
one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now on to current Texas Rangers news. Watching those highlights, and I believe if I have this right, Tampa, Baltimore, and Houston, the person to make the last pitch for the Rangers in those series was Jose Leclerc. Remember, he's still a free agent.
Yeah.
But it's looking like he will not come back to the Texas Rangers. Bleacher Report is speculating that Leclerc might have a 1-year deal from the St. Louis Cardinals. So it doesn't mean it doesn't have money. It doesn't have that it's a done deal. But it's looking like the Rangers have added 5 new relievers. You're probably going to carry 8. You could, like, if you did go to a 6-man rotation, you'd carry 7. But if you know that you have 5 new relievers, and then you do have maybe a couple young guys that you want to compete for the last couple spots, and I'm still praying that Kirby Yates is brought back. I was thinking,
are you going to ask CY about that?
Probably not there. But that's a good question. A great radio question. I don't know what FanFest, if it's great to start going, hey, you don't have a closer. He pretty much said, on foul territory just a week ago, he said, we don't have a closer.
Yeah.
And he pretty much said, I don't want Chris Martin closing games. And I don't want Robert Garcia closing games. But right now, those are our 2 options that we think are our options to close games. So that being said, I was thinking about after these highlights, I was literally going, gosh, Jose Leclerc is still out there. And I don't want him closing games either. And I don't think the Rangers want him closing games. Even though he did it in the playoffs, I think that I was like, gosh, adding Jose Leclerc to this pen wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if I have him in the sixth and seventh inning. Like, that's a really good role for him. And the Cardinals have one of the best. I'm sorry, Hensley. I might be drawing a blank. It might be Ryan Hensley. My brain's not working great on the St. Louis Cardinals closer, but I do believe they have one of the better ones in baseball. So if Leclerc goes to the Cardinals, he has spent his whole career with the Texas Rangers. He is one of those developed Texas Rangers that made it and had an impact in Rangers history in a positive way. But it looks like he might be reaching a deal with the Cardinals. I did the tease that way just to scare the crap out of Ranger fans. It's not Kirby Yates.
It works.
I do not see yet.
It worked on me.
I don't see any rumor that Kirby Yates is about to sign or has a major offer from another team, which I think is good news. Now I go.
I did see the Blue Jays just like got $2 million in international money because they made a little trade.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a legitimate thing.
For Sasaki?
And they're pushing for Sasaki, but they just, something like that just went down.
I mean, in a way.
That's interesting.
I'm not a Dodger hater. Love Dave Roberts. But I kind of, at this point, I'm like, all right, it's starting. It would kind of be piling on.
Yes.
If they get Sasaki, they got Ohtani, you know, it's just kind of like, all right, enough is enough. Like, let other teams like have some of the talent.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you got the best player in the world. You have somebody who is not too far off of the best player in the world, Mookie Betts. You're the defending champion. Hey, go ahead and pick up like the most desired pitcher since Yu Darvish. Oh, great. That's fair.
Yeah, we can add that to the mix.
Well, with the international spending happening, that was 2 days ago where it opened up, the Rangers didn't get Gretel, but they got Hansel.
They I like did. What you've done
That's
there.
Good.
Do you like that one?
That's good.
I thought
good.
About
I'm
that
I'm starting
one
to think there was no Gretel.
Good 10 minutes.
I don't think there's a Gretel.
I don't think there is a Gretel Ramirez.
There's definitely an oven, though.
Hansel Ramirez is the guy the Rangers got. Like, that's the one that they were like, yes, we did it. If you're thinking about, hey, did we get a dude that had all 30 teams in on him? They did. Who is Hansel Ramirez? Well, you might remember his dad, Hanley Ramirez. Hanley actually was going to be part of a trade to the Rangers. It was going to be... At the time, he was with the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox were going to send Manny Ramirez and Hanley Ramirez to the Texas Rangers for Alex Rodriguez.
I do remember that.
That deal got nixed, and then a few days later, I don't know the exact timeline, then Alex Rodriguez got sent to the New York Yankees. And the Rangers got Alfonso Soriano and some other pieces, but... That was the main deal. But Hanley Ramirez was almost a Texas Ranger. And I'm going to tell you, in 2007, if you were to say, who are the best hitters in the National League?
Yeah, I agree.
I'd say one, Albert Pujols. And then I would say second at that time, Hanley Ramirez.
I remember being at the winter meetings here in Dallas when he signed his big contract, yeah. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the best hitting shortstop we've ever seen.
Now, I understand that his career did not end up being a Hall of Fame career. It was just a few time all-star career, but there was a small time in history where Hanley Ramirez was arguably one of the five best hitters in baseball. It was for a small amount of time, but... The Rangers get Hansel Ramirez. They're very excited about it. He's only 17 years old. So
wow. He
is. It's probably going to take 3 or 4 years if everything works out.
I gotcha.
For him to then make an impact. I believe they have him listed as a third baseman. I know that they do. But at 17 years old, it's tough to say, I know the position he's going to play. Even when it comes to Sebastian Walcott, who I can't wait to see in spring training when we get there, to see his development. They're still keeping him at shortstop. He's probably going to be the AA shortstop. But they still don't. Know he's 18 years old. They still don't know he's 18 or not. He might be 19 now, but I think he might still be 18.
Is there a player that you can think of like along your baseball trajectory that everybody knew that kid was going to stay put at that position? Like maybe you saw him
that
in
was super young.
Yeah, that you saw in an all-star game
Mets,
or whatever.
When I was with the Mets, Jose Reyes.
Okay,
Jose Reyes does fall into the Hanley Ramirez category too.
Yeah.
Of like this dude was a super stud. So sometimes when we think. Nothing against Gunnar Henderson or Bobby Witt Jr. I think those dudes are going to be multi-time all-stars and probably Hall of Famers. But so was Jose Ramirez at 19 years old when
yeah.
he made his debut and was awesome and had some really nice years in Major League Baseball. But it's tough. to have that on him. I wasn't around. We were kids when Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, another dude I'm drawing. Justin Upton, number one overall pick, 19 years old, makes the major leagues with Arizona. And I always felt like it can be bad when you have that much expectations, because it was like, it was like for Justin Upton, he was hitting 25 to 33 home runs a year, about 75 to 100 RBIs, about a 270 batting average consistently. He's like, he stinks. And you're like, think about that. Consistently 270, right around 30 home runs, right around 80 RBIs. This dude stinks. But he was the number one overall pick. And then when you're projected to be the next face of baseball,
yeah,
and you're not, that becomes very tough, and people just kind of put you down. You're like, he's really good. He's just not a Hall of Famer. He's just not a perennial all-star.
Yeah.
And so there's that. I think you asked a good question. It just comes down to, like, I can remember guys that going into the Hanley Ramirez category were like, in my time, very good baseball player. But just remember this, people collecting cards at the Dallas Card Show or at Fan Fest, there's plenty of people that are highly thought of during their career and then are totally forgotten about after they retire.
Did you see the video, by the way, from the Dallas Card Show last night?
No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Derek Lively doing Pokemon Pack Wars with kids.
Really?
That's awesome.
Why weren't you there? You live out there.
I live right there.
You should have been there.
My kid loves Pokemon. I love Derek Lively.
Maybe he'll
maybe
be
they'll
back.
Make a Derek Lively Pokemon card.
Oh, that would be cool.
I don't know what you'd call him.
He would be the like
slender.
That.
Don't say the slender man.
It's like
don't
the egg. You know what? He looks like Executor. It's a really tall palm tree that's made out of eggs.
Okay.
It's weird. Yeah.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
Do you want to do Josh Jung next?
Let's talk with Josh Jung. Hell yeah, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Two balls, two strikes. Spores kicks and fires. He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We might talk to Josh Jung in a minute, or it could be 15 minutes. Don't worry about it. We got plenty of content either way. And right now, I think we should dive into some Forgiveness Friday. 877-881-1053. Corey, do you need to ask for forgiveness?
Not necessarily, but I do want to give a shout-out.
Oh, yes.
This is also Shout-Out Friday.
I have some shout-outs, too. Good call.
I want to give a shout-out to the people over at Sharing Life in Mesquite. Listen, man, it's about to get cold, and they do some very...
Warming centers.
Yeah, all the volunteer work that they do over there at Sharing Life. Shout-out to them, because people need blankets, people need places to be, and people need food. There's so much that they do over there. Really appreciate what they're doing.
Absolutely. From the 817, shout out to my wife, Madison. She starts her PT today from having back surgery this past month. Good luck to you. Absolutely. And I love this. I love a follow-up shout out Friday, you know? Tolo Brett here from the 469. Y'all read off a shout out for me a couple months ago when I got promoted to the key holder. Not in the Ghostbusters, but at the store. Well, here we are again, boys. I've been promoted to be my store's assistant manager. Shout out to my manager, who's the best boss I've ever had. My family, friends, everyone who's supported me and gotten me here. All right, well, now we'll expect another text
when you become owner, business owner.
That you're manager of the store.
I guess the question on that is, do you get a new key? Is there another key you get to go along with the other key that you had before?
That's a good question. That is a very good question. Now, I don't know if this is fair or not, but do all the college football fans rooting against Ohio State need to ask for forgiveness? How many, if you broke it down state by state, how many states do you think are rooting for Notre Dame on Monday versus Ohio State?
30 to 50. I mean, 30 to 20. Sorry.
Okay, I was about to say.
Yeah. Out of the 80 states.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Sounds like Trump's going to add some states.
30 to 20.
Might be
topical politics. 30, 20 in favor of?
Notre Dame.
Okay. Notre Dame has 48.
Oh, wow. They took Ohio, huh?
They did take Ohio.
Are you serious?
No. Ohio State won Ohio. Okay. Ohio State won Ohio and... Can you guess which other state? Ohio State.
Illinois.
One, West Virginia. Ohio State and West Virginia.
Why West Virginia?
Yeah, that doesn't matter to me, Kevin.
It's Not too far.
Because there's a mountain mama there?
No. Okay, you know what? For the purposes of the conversation, yes.
There's the
That is exactly
roads.
Why. So 48 states are rooting for Notre Dame and then only two for Ohio State. You know that you're hated as a college football program when you get Mondaled by Notre Dame. It's not like Notre Dame is this big. Notre Dame feels very much like the Cowboys in terms of there's a lot of people who love them. There are a lot of people who hate them. And to get wiped out like that by Notre Dame, you know that means people hate your team.
When was the last time Notre Dame won the national championship?
88.
So this is going to be, if they can pull off the upset, this will be a crying.
Oh, yeah. First time in 37
go
years.
Go to where your grandfather is buried or grandmother like type of deal because you've been Notre Dame fans forever. And because you're only 40 years old, I get you would have been born before 88. But this would be like, this is the first time I've ever really seen it and experienced it. And this one's for you type of deal.
Yeah. I think you're right.
One of my buddies been a lifelong Notre Dame fan, and he's like on the text on our fantasy football chat. He's just going insane all the time about it. So he's so excited.
The last person to win was Tim Brown.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
I don't even know who the quarterback.
Why do people hate Ohio State so much?
I don't know if they hate them.
Saying like 48-2.
One of the things is because they say the Ohio State.
Man, nobody likes anybody. Like,
I still think there's leftover Urban Meyer.
Like the Mike Bassett.
Yeah, the famous Mike Bassett. That just irks people.
You know, a lot of stuff that you do irks people, Mike.
Some unintentional.
As one of those people not listening during segments and looking at eBay instead.
That was two.
Okay, sorry.
I haven't looked at eBay yet today. Okay. Thanks for reminding me.
Oh my gosh. All right. So this is what I really need help with. It can be Carter. It can be Alec. It can be Mike. It can be Corey. It can be anybody in this building, anybody listening. Help tell me what happened. Because who needs forgiveness is the B truck. So yesterday,
I thought you were if you're setting up a joke, dude.
I swear it's not. I swear this is not a joke.
I thought he was setting up a joke.
I promise. I understand your hesitation. Alec still looks skeptical, and I get that. I promise this is not a joke.
If it's one of those stupid jokes,
it's
Kevin.
Not. It's really not. So I'm going home, and is it 345 that kind of is like the little connector to get you between 30 and 75?
Sure.
You know, like that little faux highway. So anyways, I'm on that going on my way to 30. It wasn't quite an 18-wheeler, but it was a big-ass truck, is rolling up to the left of me. We're not going incredibly fast because this is the part where you know how we do the highway on-ramps and exits. Everyone's trying to get to the left, and everyone on the left is trying to get to the right. Yep. So we're not going we're maybe going like 30 miles an hour. This truck rolls up like right next to me. It has bees all around it. All right. Is this truck transporting bees? Is it selling honey? I swear to God, I'm not doing a bit.
Bees are just around, flying?
Yes, they are like flying outside of the truck.
Like a cartoon, whenever the bees would just kind of move together.
Okay. It looked exactly like that.
But I thought he might have been, because he cusses so much, I thought he finally like worked on his language and was just talking.
No, it wasn't like, where are all the bees up in here? No, it was actual like flying bees. And so the truck is right next to my car. And so then the bees, some of them break off from the truck and start to surround my car. At which point, all my windows are rolled up. Did I panic and try to roll them up again? Yes, I did. Because fun fact about me, I am terrified of bees and wasps.
Yes, he is.
Terrified. So I was freaking out.
Because of the movie Macaulay Culkin?
That's probably, you know what? That thought does cross my mind.
That's not the movie. It's called My Girl.
It is. You know he's not going to get that. He calls it the Bart Simpson show.
Yeah, he was pretty close. The movie Macaulay Culkin.
But there's like 100 bees around my car. Ooh. I freaked out so much that even though I'm going down the highway eventually later, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour, I still worried when I got to my house that there were some bees like hiding. And they were like,
makes sense.
Yeah.
It absolutely makes sense. That is, and you're thinking maybe they're crawling in through the engine, getting in through the air conditioning.
Yes.
From the 254, they're transporting bees. They put the hive in the center of the trailer and the bees will follow them all the way across the country.
Okay. I believe that because
you probably lose a B here and there, though.
You probably did. Like I said, some of them were breaking off, and I'm sure when they got faster, I don't know how fast a B can fly. But it blew my mind. And
probably 40 miles an hour.
Okay, I could see that. I don't know.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
But I know how you guys thought I was setting up for a joke, but it really freaked me out because all of a sudden I saw this B truck come up, and like I said, I'm deathly afraid, and I was freaking out.
From JMet, man, Kevin's really keeping us on top of all the Metroplex buzz. Appreciate that. Hey, man, listen, I would probably be a little scared. Dude, if all the bees just were covering your car and you couldn't see, that would be even cooler. That would be so much, because you'd be calling me and you're like, I don't even have any honey in my car.
Here's what would freak me out, because then I would get in an accident and I wouldn't be freaked out necessarily just because I was in an accident. It would break up the frame of my vehicle. Therefore, the bees could then get in my car and attack me. These are the things that I think about. Do I also think sometimes when I'm driving behind a cement truck that they might have accidentally left it on, it's going to pour cement on my car?
Yes,
I also think that. But yesterday, never seen anything like it. So I want the B truck to ask.
So many times I'm driving behind trucks that have logs and I'm just like, I feel like I've seen this on Final Destination before. That log's going to break loose and jump through my windshield.
Yes.
Stab me in the throat.
So I'm planning on going to TNA Genesis Sunday.
Sunday night.
There's like 20 matches.
There's a lot of matches.
Like, I was just trying to get myself prepared to sell this to my family. Like, hey, we're going to this. And I was just looking. I was like,
yeah, I see at least nine matches on there.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be awesome.
The Hardy Boys are there.
I know.
You remember them, right?
They're high flying.
Yeah.
That was one of the other.
It's a good book, too, right?
Told me he'd put his foot up my butt.
Which do you like better, Hardy Boys, the mystery book, or the wrestling team?
Do you think I read?
The mystery books were really good. I enjoyed them a lot.
I don't know how much time this would take. I would love a compilation of Mike every now and again just talking about how much he hates school and education, because like it is there all of the time.
I was a bad student.
Now, the NBA, I don't know if you want to give them forgiveness or not, but they did, of course, come out, because obviously they did, and say they made a mistake by not calling goaltending when it was clearly goaltending.
Oh, okay, good deal.
Yeah.
What happens now?
Nothing.
Oh, that's awesome.
We get the win, right?
Nothing is what happens now. No. And the Mavericks said that, the Mavericks also said they're like, they're not going to file a protest, probably because they're like, and what? They'll be like, hey, good job. You win your protest. Oh, great. Can we finish the game? And we're up by one? Nope.
Let's go back and play the rest of this. Yeah. Or just give us the points, because the points should be there because it was a goaltending.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Last game of the year, that happens. Mavericks don't make the playoffs. Does the NBA just say, sorry, you're not in the playoffs, the other team is?
Yep.
Or do you think it...
I think at that moment, they're like, we got to do it again.
I think that's... I don't know.
We have to say it counts, and then we're going to like show up tomorrow, and there's 2.7 seconds on the clock.
Hold on, how many days has it been since that happened, though?
Well, let's say this was like the last game of the season, so it would have been like a day or two.
Yeah, I feel like that's too long, and then they're already like, hey, we're moved on to the playoffs already. We've already made accommodations for these teams to be here, here, and here, so sorry, that's the way it is.
You might be right. Now, we need to throw this out there real quick, because apparently it's finally been finished. The UFL, sorry for Carter and their dozens of fans, was such a disaster that if you recall, they got into a dust-up with the United States Army. Because you remember the United States Army advertised on the UFL, and they said that the change in enlistments they got from that partnership was -38. They said they lost 38 enlistments because of the internal reviews of enrollment after these commercials.
Really?
Yes. And so they were like, hey, we need to be made whole by the UFL. And apparently that business has now been completed, but nobody wants to say anything about money. And then people are like, did the UFL just give money back? But somebody from the Army spoke out. So Laura DeFrancisco, she's the Army marketing person. And she goes, Army was not ever trying to get money back from the UFL. This was a contract. An entity is paid for services rendered upon completion of a contract, not before, which really makes it sound like, oh, we didn't pay because they didn't fulfill their contract And so we still didn't pay.
Yeah, which I think is the approach that they probably should take, Kevin.
Does feel fair. That's pretty bad, though, when your commercial has a negative impact, not even a neutral impact that you're like, well, that's not great.
Yeah.
But a negative impact.
Everybody's like, I'm out of here on this one.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, probably, definitely this time.
I'll go 80%.
We will talk with Josh Young next on The Fan. KNC masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Looks like we might be chatting with Josh Young in just 1 second. Wanted to give you an update. Zay Flowers is out of practice again today, which, I mean, you would assume that means you can put him on the doubtful list for playing this weekend against Buffalo.
That's tough to go up against Buffalo and not really have one of your biggest weapons. They were able to get over the last opponent without Zay Flowers. Can they do that now? Hopefully he has that opportunity to be there, because that's when Baltimore's at their best, when they have the ability to go deep to him. He can turn short passing plays into massive big plays. So.
Are you guys ready for a snow weekend of playoff games? Because Stafford and the Rams are getting...
Not supposed to snow here till Monday or Tuesday.
Not here.
Oh. Lucy's so excited about that too, by the way.
Stafford and the Rams are preparing in case they get snow in Philadelphia. Obviously, it's supposed to be super cold for the Buffalo Baltimore game, like 12 degrees at kickoff, and it's already been snowing there. Are you ready for snow weekend of football?
I guess so. Let me ask you this random question. Are the Rams practicing in LA, or have they had to like stay in Arizona? Or
I think they were not practicing in LA at the end of last week, so I bet they've moved somewhere else.
Would you have moved to a cold environment?
That makes sense. For the game,
would you have tried to find a place in Philadelphia to practice the whole week?
If I could,
yeah,
I would. Okay. And Cooper Kupp is like, hey, I've never played in a true snow game, but I played at Eastern Washington. It's been really cold. Okay. So they don't have a lot of experience with that.
Stafford was always indoors, so that's going to be interesting for him.
I'll be surprised, not shocked, but I'll be surprised if both teams get over 20 points in that L.A.-Philadelphia game.
Stafford did play, though, against the Bears and the Packers a lot.
Stafford has experience in these cold weather games. Now, in the meantime, I'm going to give you like a mini gridiron, perhaps. Lamar Jackson, this is scheduled to be the coldest game of his career. It, like I said, it's looking like it's going to be 12 degrees at kickoff with a -3 wind chill. The coldest he'd ever played at kickoff was 27 degrees. However, that has not been problematic for him. The games he's played below 32 degrees, he's 3-1 in.
Really?
So...
Because he can still run. He can do all the things.
And Baltimore is not like here. Like, it gets cold. It gets colder there.
What do you mean? Oh, like consistently colder there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Like here, it's like it jumps up out of nowhere and you're like, my coat is still in the attic right now or wherever you store it.
Yes, exactly.
And then all of a sudden you're freezing.
Now, this is an interesting card-related story, since hopefully we'll get to talk with Josh Young about trading card stuff. Did you see Sports Business Journal is reporting that the NFL Players Association has offered buyouts to almost half its employees? Do you know why?
No.
Because part of it has to do with an arbitration ruling that resulted in the union owing Panini $7.8 million for breach of contract. Remember we talked about some of the issues?
So like CJ Stroud does not sign cards for Panini because he has a deal with Topps.
And so the arbitration panel ruled that was a breach of contract and they were on the hook for almost $8 million.
That makes sense.
So that's a big part of why they're offering buyouts to almost half their employees, which is wild.
That is a lot too.
What do you guys think about the concept of Derrick Henry being on his way to being the greatest playoff running back ever? Now, I realize Emmitt Smith's in the mix. Terrell Davis is, of course.
Does he need a title to be that?
I mean, didn't Jim Brown lead his team to NFL championships as a running back?
That is a good point as well. And this is where it gets a little tricky, right? Because the thing that Jim Brown is always going to run into the problem of, or like Joe DiMaggio at Babe Ruth or whatever, is they have vastly expanded the playoffs since then. Yeah. So Derrick Henry can put up like cumulative numbers that will dwarf Jim Brown's, but he generated 79 yards over expected running yards against the Steelers. He he gained 157 yards after contact. He has 175 plus rushing yards in playoff games three times. That's the most ever.
And he did it with the Titans.
Yes, he took the Titans. Didn't the Titans make it to the AFC Championship game?
Because he was good.
Yes. And so I wonder, I'm not saying he's there yet because, as you mentioned, Jim Brown, Terrell Davis,
Emmitt
Smith, yeah, they all have not just title, but multiple title components. But could you see Derrick Henry getting in that mix? Or do you think he'll go down as a, no, yeah, he has amazing stats, but it was always for the team that lost in the Final Four?
Ooh. That's where I'm at with him right now. Even if he wins it this year, it's tough for me to look at what some of the supreme running backs in the history of football did and then say, no, he's better in the playoffs than those guys. Because you're talking about he gets to play extra games.
Yeah, no, but it does put him at the table. Sure. You know, like that's the thing is, right now he's kind of on the outside, you know, waiting for his turn, waiting for the hostess to come seat him. But sure, here, you know, if he is able to accomplish that and add to it, he gets to sit at that table. And I mean, the respect for him, Kevin, after what he's done this year and how everybody was like, kind of,
yes,
he's done. That respect has just gone up even more this season.
Do you want to hear perhaps the most heartwarming story of the day?
I do.
I take you to Kansas City, where beat writer Adam, I'm going to go with Teicher, is retiring once the season's over after 32 years. He's been on the beat. Andy Reid recognized him in their presser yesterday and then said on his behalf and the team's behalf, he gave him a game ball.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was really cool. But then he also, they didn't like unveil it behind a curtain or something showy like that. But he had also sponsored and brought up and paid for a cheeseburger bar.
Oh my gosh.
For
Andy Reid did that for
this
guy?
Yes. Dude. So this guy's been covering the team obviously for all of the time that Andy Reid's been there, but he's like, hey, we got a game ball for you, and then ta-da, cheeseburger bar for you and all the other reporters. They got to eat there too.
If you had a cheeseburger bar, what would be kind of what you'd have?
All right. So, I mean, obviously the patty.
Right, for sure.
Brioche bun. Brioche is the best bun.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to have
different buns, or everybody just has to have a brioche bun?
Deal with it. It's my bar.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm asking.
American cheese or cheddar cheese. I'm going cheddar because that cheddar is
so you're
is
not
going
to have a variety of cheeses. Nope. This is a bar.
No, this is for me.
We get bacon?
I mean, you might get a burger. You know, I might just eat all the burgers. Yeah, bacon's going to be there. I don't need lettuce. Sorry, everybody. I need pickles. I need onions are good to have around, and tomatoes. Like, that's the best kind of burger. Like, that one right there is fresh enough. Mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup for those options. And then tater tots on the side.
So it sounds like you don't have very many fixins.
I don't need a lot of fixins.
I think it sounds
delightful.
A burger's
a burger. Burger's
really
good.
I like the way you're setting this up.
I don't need lettuce on it.
You've done a pretty bad job of providing for other people.
Okay.
I feel like it's just about you.
All right, big shot.
It is for him.
Mr. I need more fixins. What are you having?
Well, I'm definitely going to have lettuce for people to have it if they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have...
Lettuce is just a vessel for ranch anyway.
A little bit. Guess what? Why not have some ranch?
Yeah. Okay. All right. For a ranch burger
to use, right? And why not have? Are you going to have some chili and cheese if somebody wants to have a chili cheeseburger?
Yeah, I want chili on that burger too. Yeah.
What
chili.
About pepper jack cheese? That's a heck of a cheese to add like a little bit of different cheese. Yeah. Now you can multiple cheese that you can cheddar and pepper jack.
Well, I'm trying to save. You know, I'm trying to save some money here on this bar.
What? That's where we came to. Money
in this fantasy
cheese is expensive.
Cutting
it's always like 40 extra cents for a slice of cheese.
We're giving you a fantasy, and you just said, "Yeah, just normal."
I gotta cut some corners and save some money.
Okay, fine then, Mike. If that's the case, let's go ahead and have shrimp on there. Let's have some lobster. Let's have some beef tartare.
Did you know that phrase? Let's have some shrimp on the bar.
Barbie.
Yeah, there you go. I can see why you guys don't let me take part in this. Alec is on the phone, and even he's rolling his eyes at me.
You can't roll your eyes
at me while you're on hold.
He killed the music in the middle of that while he's on the phone.
That's if you're having a burger bar, does it always just have to be a cow burger?
Oh, yeah, because some people like the black. Mike likes the black bean burger.
Or like a buffalo meat burger.
Yeah,
not the bison burger. Not Corey, as we're trying to cut costs.
The bison.
Corey, it's all about savings.
Save some
all right, guys, we're going to Aldi.
You know what? As a matter of fact, Here's the deal. If I'm going to have a burger bar, I'm just telling Whataburger to show up. Bring me your stuff, Whataburger. Okay. That's all I want right now.
That would
now.
Be good. They did a burger bar for Bishop Lynch after they got hammered in the first round what'd last
they,
year in the
what
playoffs.
They have at the burger bar, Mike? Do you remember? Did they have all the fixins?
They had Whataburger fixins.
And you out-watered?
They didn't have like bacon and stuff. They're bringing you just to lost. Make like a cheeseburger with like your lettuce, tomato, onion.
They pretty much put up a chart that said the further you go in the playoffs,
yeah, the more bacon.
Yeah, if you make it to the second round, we add bacon.
You can have Whataburger people. Exactly. If you
want jalapenos, make it to the third round. Yeah, exactly.
All that matters is that you cut it diagonally so you have more burger.
A couple more notes for you. James Cook was the first Bills player with 100-plus yards rushing in a playoff game in the last weekend since Thurman Thomas. And then something to keep
an eye on. Thurman Thomas for getting his helmet.
Yes, something to keep an eye out on this weekend. The Rams have had the 7th most missed tackles in the NFL this season. So just keep an eye on that in a game that obviously all of these games have a lot of fun attached to them. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, hey, you know what it could be. But also, besides Mahomes, which players and teams in the NFL excel in the gotta have it moments? Next on The Fan.